KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have fog, and it's currently 58 degrees. We look for it to be mostly cloudy today with areas of fog and drizzle ending this morning. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this afternoon and a high near 70. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. And there is a dense fog advisory that's in effect until 9 a.m. today for Harrison, Shelby, and Pottawatomie counties. Elsewhere, widespread fog with a few pockets of dense fog are possible as well. Hair salons and barber shops statewide may reopen tomorrow. Governor Kim Reynolds announced a series of decisions on Wednesday that will allow more businesses to reopen. She said, "I have full confidence in Iowans and I have full confidence in the businesses to do the right thing."
We can and must reopen our economy. We can restart in a stable, safe, and responsible way. And we can slow the spread, protect the health of Iowans and their livelihood, and protect the health care system in the long run.
Reynolds has issued a new proclamation that extends the business reopening she allowed in 77 counties on May 1st to Iowa's other 22 counties. It means all Iowa restaurants may reopen dining areas, but at half capacity and with other COVID-19 restrictions in place. Fitness centers and gyms in the 22 counties have been limited to one at a time, appointment-only use, and are now allowed to have more customers inside as of Friday.
There is no universal approach that works perfectly for every state. In fact, a one-size approach is not the best way to tackle unique circumstances.
Reynolds says temporarily closing pieces of the state's economy had a significant impact, but it gave state officials time to validate if Iowa's hospitals would be able to handle future increases in COVID-19 cases.
We've moved to the recovery phase, gradually shifting our focus from mitigation to containing and managing virus activity.
Polk and Woodbury counties have recently seen a spike in general COVID-19 case counts and the number of Iowans hospitalized for treatment of the virus. Reynolds says those trends mimic what happened in eastern Iowa at the beginning of the pandemic, and the governor says increased testing and ample space in hospital ICUs indicate western Iowa is well prepared.
And these positive signs give me confidence that we're on the right path and we're ready to take additional steps forward.
Bars, casinos, movie theaters, and museums are to remain closed. Swimming pools, as well as playgrounds, whether inside or out, are to stay closed as well, according to the governor's orders. The updated proclamation that maintains those closures has an end time of May 27th at midnight. Social, community, and sports gatherings of 10 or more are also prohibited through the last Wednesday of the month. That seemed to indicate indoor and outdoor gatherings for graduation ceremonies would be prohibited, although the governor has not directly addressed the issue. Reynolds has not discussed whether high school sports may resume this summer either, but she's not closed the door on the idea if the virus activity declines.
And hopefully, if Iowans and businesses and everybody continue to do what we're seeing that they do, we're going to continue to, in a very phased-in approach, continue opening up and bringing more things online.
Republican leaders announced Wednesday afternoon they plan to reconvene the 2020 legislative session on June 3rd. The legislature had taken a series of emergency votes in mid-March and suspended the session. The IDPH website shows another 17 Iowans have died of COVID-19 as of the last report. A total of 306 Iowans have died of the virus since March. More than 13,000 Iowans have tested positive for the virus over the past 9 weeks. That includes another 377 cases that were announced on Wednesday. The Iowa Department of Transportation plans to release an updated proposal by the end of this month that reduces the number of full-service interstate rest areas targeted for closing from 11 to 8. The DOT's Brad Hofer says they used public input and did some more study of the rest areas and truck parking to come up with a revised cut list.
There's several along I-29. There's only a couple along I-35. There's no closures recommended along I-80. And then there's two aging sites on I-80. Just north of Council Bluffs that are being proposed for closure.
Hofer says they got a lot of public feedback after the original plan came out in 2013, which led to the decision to keep three rest areas open.
Two Osceolas south of Des Moines. We heard some pretty substantial feedback on those, as well as the eastbound Davenport rest area site. And because of that, and kind of the spacing of those sites, we opted to keep those as ones that we're now going to keep.
The new plan also goes from closing 16 parking-only sites to only closing 10. Hofer says that decision comes after a survey of available truck parking. The six parking-only sites that stay open will be upgraded.
Overall, we're adding a net 247 additional truck parking spaces with those upgrades. So even with those closures, we're still adding enough to compensate for the parking spots that are lost, as well as adding 247 more.
Hofer says they did a lot of study on the 38 rest areas to decide which ones will close.
We did look at spacing. We looked at usage. We looked at age. There was a whole bunch of, there was about, I think, 7 or 8 criteria that we used to kind of prioritize their criticality, I'll call it that.
Hofer said one of the things that people didn't understand after the first survey is that they will use the money saved from the closings to help maintain and improve the remaining sites.
Those 8 full-service sites we're proposing to close are all approaching 50 years in age. And then there's 12 more aging full-service sites that will need to be upgraded in addition to those. And we're proposing doing that between 2022 and 2033.
Travel patterns have changed, he says, and there are now more amenities available from the private sector along the interstates. But Hofer says many people like being able to pull off quickly and use the state rest areas.
They're very convenient, easily accessed, and well-maintained sites that, make it easy for folks to take a rest. And so what we try to do with this study, some of the existing rest areas are oddly spaced along the system. Some of them are kind of short distance to another one or short distance to a big truck stop or a big private service area. So what we've tried to do is kind of make it a little bit more, spaced out a little bit more evenly throughout the system.
He says they will release, they hope to release the new proposal before the end of the month and get more input before bringing the final proposal to the Transportation Commission. An Iowa Department of Transportation planner says the drop in traffic on the state's roadways brought on by coronavirus is starting to ease up. The DOT's Stuart Anderson says peak drop in travel in the state of Iowa came last week.
When traffic goes down 44% across the state.
And he says the number of motorists out there started to increase at that time.
Traffic has started creeping up again to the point where last week traffic was down by a third. So it's slowly creeping back up on the system.
Anderson talked about the traffic during the Transportation Commission meeting earlier this week. The drop in traffic leads to a drop in gas and diesel purchases. It means less gas tax money to pay for highway repairs.
We had estimated a 25% reduction in state road funding, which is about a $35 million reduction every month in state road funding that's allocated, again, to the DOT and all cities and counties in the state.
A little less than half the funding goes to the state, with about a third going to the counties and the rest of the cities. Anderson said the lag in the collection of fuel tax has been a little more than they expected, and they won't know for sure until the total drop is until June. Elsewhere in the news, the Atlantic School District's Board of Education held a session via YouTube last night, and during their meeting, the board approved resignations of Alex Bales, high school teacher, speech coach, fall play director. Also, Emily Crummel, middle school teacher, Hillary Zimmerline, middle school teacher, volleyball coach for the middle school, Derek Hall, freshman football coach, and Macy Haringa, middle school cross-country coach. They also approved contract recommendations for Mary McBride, special education teacher at the Link Center, and Sarah Rose, middle school high school guidance counselor. In other action, the Atlantic School Board approved a June 2021 out-of-state trip by middle school students to Washington, D.C. under the guidance of Mr. Paul McKay. The trip is taken every other year and will include several points of interest, a tour of Capitol Hill, and more, with the idea of reinforcing things those students have studied in history. The board also approved 2020-21 student fees. No changes made except for the adult lunch prices, which will rise about 10 cents. The 2021 AEA purchasing agreement was also approved that allows the district continued participation in the cooperative purchasing program for school food service. An agreement with the Children's Square Heartland Family Service Consortium for 2021. The school board also approved an 80-20 transportation director sharing agreement with the Griswold School District. The renewed agreement allows Griswold to use the Atlantic Bus Barn as well to conduct maintenance on Griswold school vehicles. Griswold pays 20% of the costs associated with the agreement. They also approved 2020-21 sponsors, contracts, and winter sports coaching contracts and other contracts, including central office, technology, and directors, along with principal contracts, milk, bread, and waste management bids. That's a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.